I want us to go to our verse for the year. Acts chapter 2 is our theme verse for the year. And it says, let's read this together. Okay, this is our theme for the year. Are you ready to go? 1, 2, 3. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. All right, this verse is our theme for this year, and out of it we've got the phrase devoted to hospitality. So we are, as a church, emphasizing hospitality, the one another connections this year. In verse 46, it goes on a few verses later. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. This is the early church. This is a church in revival. This is a church where 3,000 people suddenly were saved, and then they turned the city of Jerusalem upside down. And they met, I love this, they worshiped together in the temple. So what we're doing right now, worshiping together in the house of God or church. And then they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. That's communion, remembering what Jesus did at the cross. And they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And I love this. So devoted to hospitality, the emphasis for us this year is, of course, everybody has friends over for meals. That's not, you're not a particularly good Christian just because you hang out with friends and have meals with them. Everybody, the world does that, right? Right, okay, good, just testing, yeah? All right, but the Bible has a standard that goes deeper than just, you know, having cards nights with your friends. And that's all good, to hang out with your friends. It talks about opening up our homes to those people who don't yet know Christ. Opening up our homes to neighbors, to friends, to people who we're showing God's love to. Last Saturday, Danielle and I had some new neighbors in our home just for a cheese platter and drinks in the afternoon. And it's just a great, and they were so touched just because they were new to the area and didn't know anybody. And then there's devoted to hospitality amongst your church family. And this is people that you don't know that well yet. In fact, when the Bible talked about hospitality, it really was referring to strangers. Not strange people, although that's a risk, but strangers, people you don't yet know or have a relationship with. So this is us for the theme for this year. And so we've challenged, and I'm wondering, how many have set a goal this year for hospitality? Give me a wave if you've set a goal. All right, that's awesome. That's about 30%. Let's move the needle a little bit more today so that our hospitality goal, it might be once a month, that you're going to invite somebody you don't know yet, or maybe it's someone you do know with someone who's new to church or new to you, and connect them. And it can be for a meal, it can be for cheese and biscuits, it can be for Tim Tam and coffee, it can be for a barbecue, it can be after church, all sorts of different opportunities. But maybe it's once a month, maybe it's once a fortnight. Some people, if you're like a hospitality junkie, it's going to be once a week. But let's. Who thinks you could make a commitment this year to really jump on board with being devoted to hospitality? Give us another. Let's go again for another wave. Oh, we're starting to move the needle. That's good. Jesus is watching. I won't keep you accountable, but Jesus is watching. Just so you know. When you become a Christian, you step into what I'd like to call the one another life. The one another life. Christianity is not a solo sport. Christianity is not, it's not, in our Western world, we're very individualistic. We put up the walls and gates and fences and try and keep disconnected and have our privacy, etc., etc. But the essence of Christianity, it's the one another life. If you read through, in fact, in the New Testament, whether it was Greek was what it was written in, there's one word that means one another. There's not two words, there's one word. The Greek word, I'll give it a go, it's allelon. And it's used 100 times in the New Testament. 100 times. Some of you are singing allelon, 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 a long time. Okay, sorry, there goes the Greek class, that's fine. 100 times it's used throughout the New Testament, this word. Around 50 times, there are specific commands given around this word to the church, to followers of Jesus. About a third of them are about unity, being unified together. About a third of them are around love, and loving one another. And then it goes on, and there's things about being humble to each other. And let me just give you a few of them. Jesus said, John 13:34, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. There's that word twice. Be devoted to one another. This is Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Galatians 6 verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. 1 Peter 4 verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Here's just a snapshot of them. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as you are in fact doing. And here's Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So when you made that decision to be a follower of Jesus, when you ask Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sin, and if you've never done that, today's a great day to begin a relationship with God, to get God's love on the inside and His purpose on the inside, you stepped into a family. You stepped into the body of Christ. So, you know, the starting point of coming to a church service on a Sunday is it's great and it's foundational, but what God wants to add is other components of the one another life. I know this is going to be awesome. I feel like some people like talk about it all day long. I love one another. In our Western world, we tend to want to pull back. Once you understand that Christianity is a community experience, it's not a solo experience, it begins to change the way we think. When you get the one another revelation, you step into a couple of what I would call the power zone in your life. The power zone is the two or three principle. The two or three principle goes like this. Jesus said it in Matthew 18, 19 and 20. I tell you this, if two of you agree on anything in my name, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Oh, hang on a minute. So there's an extra power going with this one another thing. Absolutely. Or, for where two or three gather together as my followers, I will be there among them. Oh, isn't Jesus with me all the time? Absolutely. Once you get saved, He lives with you. But there's another dimension of His presence that comes when you gather with two or three. Will He answer your prayers on your own? Absolutely He will, but there's another dimension when you come into agreement with somebody else that your prayers will be answered. So today I want to talk about one of the really key pillars of our church life together, and it is life-giving groups. Who loves their Connect group? Give me a wave today. Who's part of the best Connect group in church? All right, pretty good, pretty good. Life-giving groups. Now, some churches call them cell groups. That's not like prison groups, but cell groups. Some churches call them life groups. Some people call them friendship groups. We tend to call our groups connect groups. And I love groups. I'm a groups junkie. I've been going to groups since I was about this high in church life. This last week, I ran 5 different groups. In this last week. So on Tuesday, Danielle and I ran a group for our ministry directors called a huddle. On Wednesday morning, I ran a group at 6 in the morning with a group of guys in our church, about 8 guys in our church, and we had coffee and talked and encouraged each other. Then throughout Wednesday, I ran 2 more groups on Zoom. Zoom's opened up the world for groups. So I ran a group with the regional directors morning and night. We did one together in the morning, one at night. With leaders from the USA, the Netherlands, Malaysia, India, Australia, Indonesia, New Zealand. And so we gathered together on a Zoom for an hour together, talking about the Word of God, praying together, encouraging one another. Then Thursday night, we opened up our home for a discipleship group with some young leaders and pouring into them. And every time I finish a group, almost every time. Okay, there's got to be some exceptions where it's not awesome, but pretty much. This week was awesome. Every time I finish a group, I'm buzzing. I don't know if you've heard the Steve Carell thing used on TikTok and Instagram, but it's like, I love it. I love it. I love it. That's me after I finished a group. I love it. It's energizing. I feel like, oh, Jesus, we're making disciples. We're making a difference. We're learning together. We're growing together. It is so life-giving to spend time with other people. Now, is it convenient? Rarely. Like, do I kind of wake up in the morning and go, can't wait to get our house ready for people to come over and you know, and prepare all the food I'm going to have to prepare? Not. No, that's not me. That's somebody else in the partnership. No, it's not convenient always. It takes preparation and work, but ultimately the fruit of one another life is where God flows in our world. So I absolutely love it. In fact, once you've been bitten by the one another bug, come on, once you've been bitten by this bug, once you realize that this is the part of your Christianity that is so important to be part of a one another community, once that bug's bitten you, you'll never be the same. You'll go to find a house to rent or to buy, and the first thing you'll do is you'll walk in and go, is the lounge room in an appropriate place for a small group? Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? Is it big enough to host 20 people in our home for a connect group? Is the kitchen close enough to the connect group in the lounge room? Can we hide the kids away in a bedroom down the back so they don't disturb after they've been out for a little while? This is just what looking for a house for someone who's been bitten by the one another bug looks like. And it's my prayer that every member of C3 Powerhouse gets bitten by the one another bug in a good way. That you get the addiction of being part of a community of believers. And so I'm preaching about this for so long, I feel like a backslidden pastor. I'm preaching about this today. I tell a lie. There's only one time we did buy a place. We rented a place that wasn't convenient for small groups, and that was the first year of our marriage. And we didn't want anyone near us because Danielle couldn't keep her hands off me. So that was just that first year of our marriage. But after that, it was all about lounge rooms. She's only human. Come on. Oh, dear. Jesus modeled one another. He modeled group life. He would minister to crowds. He would have thousands of people, but he would always withdraw to the 12. They'd eat together and talk together, and he washed their feet, and those ones would hang out, and he would teach them things and rebuke them when they needed it, mostly encourage them and fill them with love. It was part of the way he did ministry. Then he included them in ministry. And he included them as part of his life because he was modeling, this is what the Christian life looks like. It is a one another life. So for our church to have connect groups, the goal isn't that we're going to have lots of connect groups to tick a box. The goal is that we'll have lots of connect groups because I believe connect groups are such a pivotal part of lives being transformed. Our goal as a church, our vision is to see lives transform. The first transformation is when someone gets born again. That's the radical transformation. Yes. The next transformation is the rest of our lives. It's called sanctification. It's becoming more and more like Jesus. And the way you become more and more like Jesus, there's a range of different things to be shaped to become more and more like Jesus. But the most powerful principle is it's part of a community. It's in a one another context. It's where you learn, you know, there's nothing like being close up with people to grow your character. My mum used to say, there's nothing like going to a small group with sister sandpaper. She rubs the small edge, the rough edges off your life. You have to learn to forgive people. You have to learn to repent yourself. And there's something about it. So our goal for our connect groups is they're places where lives are transformed. Now, those connect groups can be connect groups like Alpha, in essence, is kind of like a short-term connect group where a group of people are going to get together with a leader who's praying for them every day and going to look and watch stuff and look at what the Bible says and talk about it and pray and learn together to become followers of Jesus. That's the beginning point of your journey. And then there'll be other courses that will run along the way, but ultimately connect groups in people's homes or at coffee shops or at parks or wherever it might be is the life beat of our church. So I want to talk about life-giving connect groups. And life-giving connect groups, I want to talk about four things that happen in life-giving connect groups. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
All right. The first one is life-giving connect groups are a place of encouragement and inspiration.
Yeah.
Encouragement and inspiration. Look, sometimes we lose focus in our walk with Jesus.
Right.
Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we lose the motivation. We know we should pray and read our Bible and be developing more to be more and more like Jesus, but we just kind of start getting into the drift zone. And Connect Group is a place where we can be encouraged and re-inspired to keep the main thing the main thing. Because there's so much else going on in this world that's trying to make the main thing in your life not really what's the most important from God's point of view. So it's encouragement and inspiration. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. Come on. Who needs some motivation to follow Jesus sometimes?
Yeah.
Oh, three people. I rebuke the spirit of lying in this church right now. Come on. Who needs motivation to follow Jesus sometimes? Come on. All right. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let's not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Here's the one another life.
Yeah.
Encourage one another, especially now as the day of his return is drawing near. Encourage and inspire one another. Now, sometimes you don't need it, so you're there to give it for somebody else. And other times you need it, and you're there to receive and to give it to somebody else. I've tried different forms of fitness over the years. I don't know how many people, and there seems to be, I'm just going to make up a random stat right now because we all know 33% of statistics are made up on the spot. Like I just did then. All right. But I reckon about 10% of people are self-motivated to stay fit from a physical point of view on your own. You're like, you're out there running, you're out there, you wake up motivated, and disciplined, and you're one of those kind of fitness people. Who knows one of them? All right. Oh, we're pointing to some in the room right now. Okay. You can't point to yourself, David Crowder. What's going on? We'll call them the top 10%. I'm not one of the top 10%. So what I've worked out is to stay motivated. The best way for me to do fitness is with a group. Either in a sporting context when my body was young enough to recover from the hits, or now I do it in I've done it for the last dozen years or so on the beach, which it protects my joints as I run along the sand. It's quite awesome. And what happens is I've got a leader who plans the whole session out, so I don't have to think about it. That's awesome. In fact, sometimes he puts it up on the whiteboard and I just refuse to look at it because I do not want to know the pain that's coming. Just one step at a time for me. And so I've got a leader thinking about what we're going to talk about and what we're going to do. I've got a group of, now they didn't start as friends, but now I've got a group of friends and we laugh. And in fact, I kind of go for the friendship and the bonus now is fitness. At the start, I went for fitness and the bonus was friendship. But now we hang around and we have coffee. And you know, so what can happen is even if I do no other individual exercise, and often what happens is if I'm doing two sessions a week, it rolls over into personal inspiration for the other days.
Right.
Okay? But I've just got this bedrock two times a week if I'm on the coast that helps me, okay? So overall, this is motivating and encouraging me. Now, that's physical fitness, and that's important. But Paul writes to Timothy and says, physical fitness is important, is good for this life, but spiritual fitness is more important for this life and the life to come. So please don't let me find you're more committed to your physical fitness journey than your spiritual fitness journey. Please don't let me find that you've got 5 days a week to go to the gym, but you can't have time for a connect group.
That's good.
Oh, pastor, what's going on? Where's that nice pastor? Bring him back. Don't tell me that. Just be honest and go, it's not important to me right now. Oh, that was a burn, wasn't it? Okay, let's get back to my notes. Here we go. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Come on. One of the groups I led at the end of it this week, one of the guys sat in the group and he said, he reflected afterwards, he said, you know what? When I came to this group, I thought I was doing all right. But and then he said, I heard this person talk about their quiet time, and I heard this person talk about what they're sharing their faith. And he's like, I'm in lazy mode. He was inspired and encouraged to follow Jesus because of the atmosphere that he was in. That's the first reason we want to be committed to life-giving groups. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to me. Turn to another neighbor and say, maybe it's just you he's talking to. All right, the second reason, we've got these coming up behind me, if we want to be part of life-giving groups is this: spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Groups are a place where we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually. It's in groups. For me, it was in a small group as a kid that I learned how to prophesy.
Right.
I wasn't just, someone didn't give me a microphone at church and go, away you go. Yeah. I was in a small group. I learned how to prophesy. I was in a small group. I learned how to pray out loud. I was in a small group. I learned how to take a verse of the Bible and share it with some people and bring it alive as it had come alive to me. Was in a small group that I learned how to serve other people. And I remember washing other people's cars at a Connect group night just because we're learning how to serve one another. So it's a small group. I remember when I went to uni, I went to a small group. And this particular group, the group leader was an older guy, and he was a Bible college guy. And he would just roll like a grenade a spiritual complex issue into the room and watch us all fight it out with scriptures. And it was in a small group I learned to wrestle with the Word of God and the paradoxes and the things that seemed to contradict. And I learned about the Word of God and got a passion to study the issues of the Word of God. That was in a small group. I love this. I read this during the week. I wrote it in my journal. And it was a woman in the crowd yelled out to Jesus as he was speaking. It's Luke 11, 27 and 28. You're watching online. Said, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, the breasts that nursed you. So he's talking about, the woman in the crowd is talking about his mother Mary. And Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. I mean, there's a whole lot of things going on in that verse right there. Jesus is essentially saying, Mary's my mom. And she's good. And in fact, when he was on the cross, he made sure she was looked after from a practical point of view. But he then goes on and says, everybody in the kingdom's more blessed than her. She's not more important than any of you. And here's what gets you blessing. This is what he's saying. Are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. So this is the journey of transformation. Where we open up the Bible and we talk about the word of God. And we talk about, now, how is this changing my character? How is this changing my behavior? How is this changing my marriage or my family or my friendship? Or how is this changing me in my workplace? It's spiritual growth comes as we take the Word of God. We unpack it and we learn from one another. Someone else in the group gives a thought about a verse in the Bible that you'd never seen. And suddenly you've learned something more about the Bible. Someone else has got a passion for the word and you feel iron sharpens iron to lift your word game. Oh, come on. This is good preaching, Pastor. Someone else is kind of, as they pray for you, the touch of God comes on you. But the spiritual growth, you get the opportunity to grow by doing things. Pressed out of our comfort zone together. It's the one another life. Everybody say the one another life. That's what we've been called to. There might come a point, this is going to help some people, there might come a point where in your spiritual journey it's kind of like, oh, I've learned a lot, and I'm pretty established in my faith, and I don't really need Connect Group. Bah. Okay, when you get to that stage, that's usually God going, it's time for you to lead one. That's usually God saying, that's great, you've been a recipient and you're growing, but there's people who are a year or two behind you in their journey, and now your accelerated growth is going to come by actually having to make it about three or four people in your group. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, I think that could be me. It's a lot of nervous banter going on today. I don't know. That's a point. To much whom is given, much is required. To much is given, much is required. Let's not let the Spirit... Oh, okay, here we go. Are you ready for this? There's every area, every geographical area has a particular culture, spirit, and strength about that area. All right, so you walk into it and there's something about this particular area. There's a spiritual dynamic and God can use all of those areas for the kingdom. But one of the things of the Sunny Coast that we have to push against that's over the areas, I just came here for the lifestyle. Therefore, I'm here for whatever I can get out of it. And if that atmosphere gets into the spirit of a church, then everyone becomes I'm just here for the lifestyle and what I can get out of it. And Jesus says, that's not what I've called you here for. I've called you to make disciples. I've called you to raise people, to reach the lost, to make... Oh, here we go. All right, keep going, Pastor. Stay with your points. Let's not come under that. Let's not be those people. We try and have our connect groups every fortnight. So there's a reasonable rhythm in the life of our church. Twice a year, so the second term and the fourth term, we'll have what we call a small group campaign. And that will mean that basically we'll preach into a set topic. Often it's around a book. And then we'll do a little video about 12 minutes to watch in Connect Group and give the questions. And so all together for at least two terms a year, we're all on the same topic. So next week we start our term two campaign. It's called Out of the Cave. There's going to be a couple of books that we'll recommend. But just a heads up, one is by Chris Hodges called about his journey of coming out of depression. So we're going to talk about coming out of depression, which is the world's number one sickness right now. Depression. It's the number one sickness in the world right now. It causes more deaths than cancer. Depression. So we're going to talk about what the Bible says about depression. We're going to talk about it in our small groups. And this campaign, it will be life-changing. This will be a campaign that we work together in our small groups for many people that you'll look back in years to come and say, that changed my life. Not just the preach, but then doing that journey, reading the book and talking about it together. So twice a year we do those campaigns. And then the other twice, it's pretty much up to that Connect group leader. What does your group need? Is it what we're talking about on Sundays, or is there something else that you really want to unpack together as a group? Which leads me to the next point and the third reason to be part of a life-giving group, and that's for freedom and healing. For freedom and healing. I love this. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. All right, so let's just understand the distinction that happens here. Confess your sins to Jesus and you'll be cleansed.
Yes.
100%. Are you with me?
Yes.
So when we ask Jesus for forgiveness of our sin, then Jesus cleanses us of our sin and we get right standing with God.
Right.
But this verse tells us that there's another component that's beyond just forgiveness, and it's healing. If you confess your sin to Jesus, you get cleansed. But when you confess your sins to each other and you bring it into the light, now, don't get scared. We're not going to like have the big, I'm going to tell you all the sins I've ever committed in our Connect group. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are moments where someone brings, you know what, I think I've been suffering from depression. And you share it with a group of five or six people. And suddenly the dark cloud that you've been sitting under because it's like been silenced through the courage, Bible says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you might be healed. And suddenly someone's heart's getting healed. Suddenly a mindset that's been oppressing somebody is shifted. Suddenly sacred moments happen. And this... A Connect group doesn't have to be 20 people to be successful. Three or four people together can be so powerful. Three or four people just sharing, this is what's going on in my life. It's the place where we take off the mask. You know, if you ask somebody on Sunday how you're going, you don't really know them, and they just start blurting it all out, most of us are going to run a mile. But if over a period of time you build relationship and trust, and you know it's safe, and you know it's a safe place, You know that your leader's praying for you every day, because when people lead connect groups in our church, they commit to pray for the persons who are attending their group every day, just for blessing. It's so good. And when you know that happens, then the love of God can come in and go deeper and bring healing and bring freedom. And the last thing, the fourth thing, why I want everybody in our church to be part of a life-giving group is because it's in those places that you'll find friendship and care. Groups are the front line of pastoral care in our church. They're the front line of pastoral care in our church. Statistics will show that doesn't matter the size of the church, whether it's 2,000 or 200, the average person will know about 67 if they're planted and locked into that church. So whether it's 2,000 people or 200 people, the average person, part of a church involved in groups and teams, will know about 70. That's, you know, for many, maybe we'll have 6 or 7 friends out of those 70 that they know. So when people come, like in Melbourne right now, because we're a smaller church, we're about 200 people, some people come to our church and go, I really wanted to come here because it's smaller and I want to be part of a smaller church. And my heart sinks a little bit when I hear that, because it misses the heartbeat of our call is to reach lost people. And so therefore, you know, to be part of a church like ours, you have to be convinced that God's will is for the church to grow, to reach people who don't know him. That means that there are more people going to come, and essentially, whether there's 200 or 2,000, you'll know about 70. That's just how it works. But the way you'll really get to know people is when you make the commitment to be part of a group. The way you'll really feel like the bonds of connection are deepening is that you'll be part of a group. I love this, what Jesus said, John 15, 12 to 15, to his small group. He's got them around a table, having devoted to hospitality time. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. Then he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. When he first called them to be disciples, they were on team together. There was a task. But after 3 years of serving God together, serving others together, eating, discipling them, teaching them, training them, he said, you're no longer just my servants, you're my friends. I call you friends. I love that. And I believe that that's part of what God wants. I believe that the way that you become deeply part of the community of church is to be part of a life-giving group and ultimately part of a team as well. But today I just want to talk about life-giving groups. So I'm going to ask us to close our eyes right now. Life-giving groups, a place where we find encouragement and inspiration, where we grow spiritually, where we discover freedom and healing, we experience it, and where we make friends and care for one another. Father, I pray that your heart for the one another life for us would be experienced in our church through life-giving groups. Lord, I pray that in the next 3 weeks as we look at, or 4 weeks in this term, as we dive into this topic of coming out of depression and anxiety, that in our groups, there'll be so much of your spirit at work in hearts. So I'm going to just give two opportunities to respond here. I suspect that some people have been part of groups for many years in your life. You've been a Christian for a long time, but it's just you kind of haven't got back into a group yet. Can I just urge you just take that step to get back connected. Take the risk. Reprioritize your life. There's early morning groups with coffee before work. There's daytime groups. There's nighttime groups. There's Saturday morning. There's Sunday lunch. Like there are, look, if there's not one, we'll make one. If you're saying I'm being prompted by the Holy Spirit to get back into a group, just give, or get in for the first time, just lift your hand up and say, "That's me." Just lift it up real high. I'm not going to come after you. This is just a self thing. You're going to do this yourself. Fantastic. You can put your hands down. Maybe it's time that you launched a group again, or for the first time. And we won't just throw you in the deep end, but we'll equip you. We'll prepare you to run a group. I have such a sense from the Spirit of God that this is really important for our church as we come into this next season of growth, acceleration, and multiplication. This is really important. So if you're getting prompted by the Holy Spirit to lead a group, step up and help lead a group, either for the first time or coming back to that, just would you raise your hand as well? So that's me. Great, awesome. Just put that real high. Come on, I think there's a couple more people as well. Awesome, thank you. Great, you can put your hands down. All right, if that's you, I want to encourage you to speak to one of our pastoral team, to Dan Bowman or to Josh Dodd or to Sharon Dimond. We'll help you connect into that. So good. Just let the Spirit of God rest on us today. Lord, move us into one another life. Help us to be devoted to hospitality. Give us your heart and your revelation. Hey, maybe you're here this morning, just while eyes are closed, and I talked earlier about the opportunity to connect with God.